This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Well, the rapture is one of those things that you must be prepared for in order to participate in. Otherwise, you're going to be left behind. And we want people to be prepared, because when he shouts our name, we're going to be out of here. But if your name can't be shouted, you're going to stay here. And then you go through all the traumas of the tribulation period.
That is best-selling author Tim LaHaye talking about the central teaching of his series of novels that came out over the last decade, the Left Behind series. How important is that central teaching, the secret rapture of the church, to mainstream pop American evangelicalism? We're going to be talking about and actually beginning a six-part weekly series on the apocalyptic anxiety of pop American Christianity, end times anxiety, and what it leads to in the case of pop American Christianity here on Issues Etc. It's Monday afternoon, August the 23rd. We are coming to you live. You can join us for the next 2 hours of the program. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC, or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. In the second half hour of the program today, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be our guest. We're going to teach a Sunday school lesson, as we usually do with her early in the week. Starting in Acts 27, we'll talk about God preserving through a storm. I think it's a shipwreck, if I'm not mistaken. Then in the second hour of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will be our guest. We'll get an update on California's Marriage Protection Amendment. It's working its way up through the courts, challenged all the way, perhaps, to the Supreme Court. Dennis DeMauro will join us. We'll get a survey of thought on when life begins. You may have seen a story in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch to that effect, and then we'll round off today's program, spending a half hour with Shane Rosenthal of the White Horse Inn radio program. We're going to talk about me-centered biblical interpretation. He says we need a Copernican revolution in the way we read the Bible, not that we read the Bible, but in the way that we read the Bible. Joining us to talk about the apocalyptic anxiety of pop American Christianity and begin a six-part weekly series with him, Dr. Alfonso Espinosa is pastor of Living Word Lutheran Church in The Woodlands, Texas. He received his PhD from the University of Birmingham. His doctoral dissertation is titled The Apocalyptic Anxiety of American Evangelicalism as Seen Through Left Behind and Tim LaHaye's Program for the Preservation of Evangelical Identity. Dr. Espinosa, welcome back.
Todd, it is so great to be back. Thanks for having me.
How important is this idea of a secret rapture in pop American Christianity today?
It's absolutely vital. It is based on an understanding of Scripture that God has predetermined this secret rapture to occur, to literally snatch from the earth his chosen believers. And in order to properly prepare for that, those chosen believers who believe that they are the ones that God has ordained to be involved in this rapture must prepare themselves. They prepare themselves in such a way as to perpetuate a certain reading of Scripture, a certain understanding of history, a certain way of looking at their identity as American Christians, their involvement in American politics, and their perpetuation of a very, very special, specific way of approaching Christian sanctification. And it all gets back to this rapture event. So we can say accurately that the secret rapture represents one of the core aspects of American evangelicalism and what it means to be a true believing Christian.
Does that mean that the idea of a secret rapture which forms the basis of most of Tim LaHaye's theology, of course, his series of novels and many other books that he has written of a more theological bent. Does that mean that that idea actually has scriptural warrant?
Well, it's a great question. And one of the reasons why it's such an important question, Todd, is because there is one place in God's holy word in the New Testament that actually uses this word that may be harpazo in the Greek, that may be translated as rapture, often is translated as rapture, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. And the question is, of course, what does it mean? What exactly are we talking about when we encounter this word in Holy Scripture? First of all, I'd like to go ahead and read that scripture for our listeners. Once again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. And by the way, Todd, what's truly fascinating about that scripture is that it identifies the actual believers as being left. It is a word that means those who are forgiven, those who are kept in the mercy of God are actually left. This is a terrible embarrassment for the entire thesis of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind idea. But getting back to your question, the word harpazo, caught up, or rapture, the question there is, what does that word mean when it's presented in Scripture? The confessional Lutheran response to that, it is part and parcel of the event of the great second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he takes up all of his children to be at his right hand, as Matthew chapter 25 so clearly describes, and that will be part of that second coming last day. For LaHaye, when he goes to 1 Thessalonians 4:17, he uses it in such a way as to describe, according to his own words, the first stage of the second coming. The first stage for him is called the blessed hope, and this blessed hope is the secret invisible rapture, which is the event that occurs before the seven-year tribulation. So, again, Todd, it really depends who you're talking to. The word is certainly in Scripture. The question is, what does it mean?
Okay, then. Where did this idea of a secret rapture of the church arise? Where did it first come from, and how has it found its way so integrally into the mind of American evangelicalism?
Well, Todd, you just touched on one of the main reasons I wrote this dissertation. Wanted to get to the bottom of that very question. And what we see in examining the history, first of all, we have, based on very popular knowledge, the fact that a man by the name of John Nelson Darby in the 1800s perpetuated the system of what's called dispensationalism, approaching the Scriptures in such a way as to divide the entire history of the Word of God into seven epochs, divisions, or dispensations where God relates to his people in different ways. And Darby, indeed, was instrumental in developing that system, and many people have assumed that the teaching of the rapture began with Darby as well. In fact, however, we find that there were others along the way who spoke of a secret rapture. In the dissertation, we bring out clearly that Darby was not the first to discuss this rapture. But we find, in fact, even based on LaHaye's own testimony in his books, that a Reverend Morgan Edwards, a Baptist pastor in Philadelphia, described the doctrine in a book called Millennium Last Day Novelties in 1788. Edwards was a founder of Brown University, and he does write back in 1744 about this rapture concept. However, we also know that there were others, even before Morgan Edwards, was a man by the name of Increase Mather. He was a Puritan minister in Boston. And Increase also wrote of this secret rapture. The saints would be, quote, caught up into the air during this secret rapture. And we see that furthermore, upon looking into some of the more scholarly efforts of dispensationalists, such as the work done by Hitchcock and Ice, we find that the rapture teaching can be found from other sources from the 17th century, the 1600s, and even as early as the medieval church, 14th century. However, when we look at their further claims, everything up to this point seems legitimate, this late medieval to the present finding of the teaching. However, when we look to the dispensationalists' further claims, they are bold to assert that the teaching was found in the early church documents. And this, of course, is what I carefully scrutinized and found their assertions to be lacking.
When we come back from this break, we'll talk more about the apocalyptic anxiety of Pop American Christianity, built largely upon a notion that may not be the newest of newcomers, but certainly is a novel idea when put in perspective of the entire warp and woof of Christian history, the secret rapture. Our call-in number on this Monday afternoon, August the 23rd, as we talk with Dr. Alfonso Espinosa, beginning a six-part weekly series with him on the apocalyptic anxiety of Pop American Evangelicalism. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. After another 15 minutes conversation with Dr. Espinosa, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We'll continue our summer series as God works through his created means. We'll talk about God preserving the Apostle Paul through a storm. That's in about 15 minutes here on Issues Etc. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at @issuesetc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference, because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Alfonso Espinosa is our guest, pastor of Living Word Lutheran Church in the Woodlands, Texas. Dr. Espinosa, you've described how the how the rapture, at least historically, developed as an idea in very bare outline, that it does not have its roots, as the dispensationalists claim, in the writings or the thought of the earliest church. What has this relative newcomer, novelty of ideas, the secret rapture, what has it done, as you say, to produce anxiety in the average pop American Christian?
Well, Todd, that's a question that has to be answered in the overall context of the evangelical way of approaching the Christian faith. We know that this is a work-centered lifestyle Christianity understanding of the faith. What we need to understand is that part and parcel of the gospel for us in our Lutheran tradition is not only where Christ won our salvation on the cross of Calvary, but also vitally important is where that salvation is distributed in the means of grace, word, and sacrament. When we review that fact, we realize that American evangelicalism does not have that latter aspect, does not have that second part of the story. They are missing, to put it frankly, they're missing the sacraments. They have no sacraments. So not having Christ present here and now, coming perpetually, coming daily, leads a tremendous void in their overall theology. So they have to have a way of somehow compensating, trying to fill that void. How do you have comfort in the Christian faith when Christ is not coming to you in a solid, real way through sacraments? So what they have perpetuated is this idea of rapture, that he is coming soon. In the meantime, the way that we prepare for this very soon coming in the rapture, which Tim LaHaye says it needs to happen between now and the year 2024, that's such a bold assertion he comes out and says in his books, which is an explicit denial of what Jesus says. Nobody knows, and yet he says he knows it's going to happen by 2024. They have to do something about finding assurance. So what they do is they get heavily involved in politics. This is a sign of the true believer who tries to convert the nation into a so-called, quote-unquote, Christian nation. And they get heavily involved in their version of Christian sanctification, which perpetuates the idea of levels of sanctification. Very, very dangerous teaching. So, again, in just appreciating why this secret rapture is so important to them, they use it as an identity marker for their version of true believer, which is devoid of the holy sacraments.
You said that we could trace at least nascent forms of the idea of a secret rapture back to even the 17th century. Do you historically note that kind of anxiety growing with the popularity of this idea of a secret rapture?
Yeah, definitely. When you look at the movements that have always embraced the secret rapture, we have to appreciate the fact that this teaching always happens in the context of what we call millenarianism, also known as millennialism, also known as chiliasm. These are groups that approach the book of Revelation in terms of Revelation chapter 20 that mentions six times of 1,000 years, that believe that this millennial kingdom is yet to come, and they have to prepare themselves by approaching their Christian faith in this very, very legalistic, utopian manner to transform their environment to prepare for the millennium, which will be on Earth. And millennialism has been something that we can chart in history throughout the ages. One of the great scholars on this particular point is Norman Cohn, who's written several books, one of them including The Pursuit of the Millennium, looking at revolutionary millenarians and mystical anarchists of the Middle Ages. We find these kinds of movements that want to transform their environment into this pre-millennial community to be marked by the fact that because these cultures thrive on what we call apocalyptic thoughts, apocalyptic anticipations, they believe that the evil in the world is identifiable by evil politicians, evil armies, evil kings, evil nations, evil states that are suppressing and attacking Christians on earth. Therefore, we must prepare even militantly against these evil forces and transform, again, the environment and the political system.
When you you mentioned before the break that when you go back and look at the earliest Christians, who certainly had an apocalyptic expectation. I mean, I think that's fair to say of St. Paul, and especially in the writings of the earliest Christians, they seem to be quite intent that Christ's return is imminent. But you don't find this notion of a secret rapture. What do you find as their expectation for Christ's return?
Right, right. Well, what all apocalyptic writing has in common across the board is going through times of distress and crisis of some kind. Of course, going back to Ezekiel, you have the connected to the Babylonian captivity. The same is true with Daniel. Both Ezekiel and Daniel have apocalyptic in their writings. John's apocalyptic in dealing with the Roman persecutions. Crisis was present. But the way they dealt with that was, again, getting back to the gospel, Jesus Christ here for them now through word and sacrament. This very, very strong conviction that because Jesus is here present in his word, we can face these crises. And apocalyptic, the apocalyptic genre is certainly used to describe this crisis in symbolic, metaphorical language. But what is also described in symbolic, metaphorical language is the victory of Christ. So, for example, when you get to the book of Revelation, the entire theme of the book is the victory of Christ over all evil forces against Christ and the kingdom of God. So they handled it, they dealt with it, they coped with it by getting back to Jesus Christ and him crucified and him risen and guiding and leading his church. And by virtue of, again, getting back to that second aspect of the gospel I mentioned earlier, the means of grace, Christ coming to us constantly through the word, they were so comforted by that perpetual coming, they therefore didn't have to worry about some kind of imminent secret coming. But if you take away that constant coming, you're left with what the American evangelicals do. They're left with wondering if they're going to be prepared for this coming. Todd, I'd like to share with you something that one of my students at Concordia University shared with me where I teach part-time. This is his testimony when he was a child. He said, "I have to admit that Left Behind series haunted my nights during my childhood. Of course, I had no idea that the movie was based on a misunderstanding of the return of Christ. I found myself checking to see if my mother was in her room during the night. I knew that if anyone could go to heaven upon Christ's return, it would be her. I remember waking up one day to find my mother gone with clothes left out on her bed, and I was sure that my mother had been raptured and that I had been left behind. I still remember the song from the movie, 'Two men walking up the hill, one man disappears, you've been left behind.' It's funny how Christian scare tactics seem to work on children and new believers." Now, this was written by Joel Kim. But this was the reason why we wanted to do this study, Todd, because of the fear that is inappropriately put on people who are seeking the Lord, trying to get them to believe based on this idea of this secret rapture, not substantiated by the early church at all.
So it sounds as though, you know, kind of kicking off our series with you every week, it sounds as though what you're saying is, if I'm a Christian who believes that Christ is absent, not with us sacramentally in his word, but absent, or only with us in some sort of vague mystical way, then I seek my assurance in both a secret rapture that I believe is coming soon, but even more so in my ability to somehow prepare myself by preparing society and my own life to fit some sort of a model of Christian sanctification. Is that this anxiety in a nutshell with only about a minute?
Bless you, Todd. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. Many studies have compared the different teachings, interpretations of the end time teaching, but you have hit the nail on the head. It's really about not having that assurance of word and sacrament. What am I going to do now? And what we have to do now is a reaction response of the flesh, which is always about the presumption of righteousness, which Luther warned us about, justifying yourself, trying to make that Christian life work by method of your own efforts, impacting yourself and the greater society.
Finally then, Dr. Espinosa, we're going to continue our series on the apocalyptic anxiety of pop American Christianity next week, talking about biblical texts that dispensationalists use. With about 30 seconds, what's in store for us next week?
We're going to be looking at the key text from the book of Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39, the key chapters. And then we're going to go to Daniel chapter 9, which they use to support their great parentheses teaching on the 70 weeks. We're also going to be looking at Revelation chapter 20 on the 1,000 years. We're going to take a close look at Matthew chapter 24, where Christ speaks of the great judgment which struck Jerusalem in the year 70 AD, which they take as still future, based on their futuristic approach to the end times. We'll also be appreciating how, in fact, the dispensationalist American evangelicals reject that apocalyptic is even a legitimate genre for understanding Scripture. They want to replace that genre with their view of what it means to be prophetic. And this is a crass determinism that, again, is designed to cause people to be anxious about their preparedness to meet Jesus.
Dr. Alfonso Espinosa is pastor of Living Word Lutheran Church in the Woodlands, Texas. He received a Ph.D. from the University of Birmingham. His doctoral dissertation, titled The Apocalyptic Anxiety of American Evangelicalism, is seen through Left Behind and Tim LaHaye's Program for the Preservation of Evangelical Identity. I look forward to next week's conversation.
As do I, Todd. Bless you.
When we come back, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We'll be talking about how God preserves even through a terrible storm. Stay tuned.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy is dedicated to promoting Luther's small catechism and faithful Lutheran catechesis around the world. We are the publisher of the Lutheran Catechesis Series, catechetical materials for use with adults and children, in congregations and on the mission field, in families and in schools. Visit our website at peacesussex.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The actress Patricia Neal passed away recently, succumbing to lung cancer. The Academy Award winner knew lots of heartache during her life, namely the grief of abortion. According to her autobiography, she became pregnant during an affair with Gary Cooper. She gave in to his pressure to have an abortion, thinking it would save her career. In her book, she wrote, "If I had only one thing to do over in my life, I would have that baby." She confided to a longtime friend, "Alone in the night for over 40 years, I have cried for my child." But Patricia Neal had several opportunities to counsel pregnant women not to make the same mistake she did and to have the baby. Perhaps now she's in heaven, greeting the baby she never got to hold in her arms.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.